everyone. And I wanted to make sure that we hit this because we hinted at a problem that we are beginning to see with a lot of Baptists who call themselves Reformed Baptists who have begun to adopt the Nicene Creed. And a couple Wednesdays ago, I read that to you. And the problem with it is the majority of it's good, but you get down to the bottom and it confirms baptism for the remission of sins or baptismal regeneration, or by being baptized, you can be saved. And that's not what we see in the Bible. So when we, under our heading of Hath God Said, what we're going to look at tonight is Hath God Said There Is a Way to Salvation. Hath God Said There's a Way to Salvation. Go to Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. This little passage of scripture is the crux in which this argument sits. Verse 1 of Mark chapter 1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins." What people have done is they have glommed onto this passage of scripture and have said that John's baptism was saving people. That's not what's going on here. And as a matter of fact, when we compile all other verses talking about salvation, we're not going to look them all up, but we're going to look a lot of them up tonight. When you look them up and compare one to the other, you see that that's not what is being said here. When we look at what John was doing, what was John doing when he was baptizing people? He was taking them, dunking them into the Jordan and bringing them back out. Why? What was the purpose of that running water? What was the purpose of burying them under it? Well, we know what it represents. It represents the death, the putting down, the burial, the submersion, and the resurrection, the bringing them back up. My pastor had a bit of a sense of humor. I think I was 11 or 12 when I was baptized. He sat there, and just as we were about to go down, we were up in this, we've got an area over here just like it. We're up in that little room before you come down. And he says, "Now aren't you glad that the Lord came back? And that in baptism, we only dunk you down and bring you back up, but we don't hold you down there the full 3 days." Stone-faced, turned around, went up the stairs, and then just went down into the water. Didn't wink at me, didn't smile, nothing. Just, "Aren't you glad we don't hold you down there the full 3 days?" Just came right back up, scared my little heart. I haven't done that, I don't think, and I don't plan on doing that. But no, that's what we're picturing. And what is the person who is being baptized saying? "I believe that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. This is the picture I believe." When we talk about repentance, you have to remember, repentance isn't just saying the words, "I'm sorry." Repentance is to go the other direction. At one time, I did whatever I wanted. I gave myself whatever I wanted. I chose my own morals. I decided what was right or wrong. Then the Lord saved me, and I moved the other direction. I said, "Lord, what do you say is right? What do you want me to do?" I've completely turned around. That's what repentance is. That's why when you read through the Old Testament in the King James, you'll see where God repents. Do you think God is saying he's sorry, or do you think he's turning from, right? It says that he repented of creating man. You know what that is? He went from creating man to destroying man. During the flood, that's what he did. He turned from it. He did the opposite of it. So when these people are coming forward, they're leaving behind the Old Testament. They're leaving behind the Pharisaical law. And what they're doing is they're turning the other direction and they're pointing towards Christ, to grace. And that is what they're saying. We believe Jesus Christ will come. He will die. He will be buried. And he will rise again. Well, how would they know to do that? I don't know. Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Psalms. There's a lot of things that pointed to what Jesus would do when he came. A lot of things to see and to point out the truth of what he was going to do once he got here. When we are looking at this, we are not seeing submersion or baptism for salvation. These people are making a statement. I believe this. Look at the final phrase in the verse that we read, verse 5. Confessing their sins. That's part of the steps to salvation. What's the other part? Belief. Belief. So not only am I demonstrating my belief, but I'm also confessing my sins. What we are seeing here is not ritualistic salvation. It's not just religious, do this, do that, do the other. It is, I believe and I confess of my sins. Now, we don't see how they're confessing their sins. We don't see what manner is it. Are they saying it out loud? Are they praying to the Lord while they wait in line? I don't know. But we do know that confessing our sins to God is necessary, because how can you repent? How could you say you're sorry and then turn from sins? You don't call by name. We don't like to talk about the things we do wrong, do we? Oh, it's so much easier to talk about the things that other people are doing wrong. Talk about the things that we like about ourselves. But when it's us and God, we got to do business. We'll pray that while we're in public. And forgive us of our sins. Right? We pray that. When you pray at home, it needs to be more specific. Please don't do that here. Please don't announce every sin you've ever committed during public prayer here. You want to talk about it. We could go down to my office. But at home, when it's you and the Lord, you ought to pray that way. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of doing this. Lord, I lost my temper today. Lord, I said this and I shouldn't have done it. I took that and I shouldn't have. I wasn't as good at this as I was supposed to be. Whatever it is, we confess by the name of the sin. But the water does nothing. The water does nothing. The water is just a medium. As it turns out, it's too hard to throw people through dirt and bring them back. It's just hard. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Referring to the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What is it that saves us? Who is it that saves us from our sins? And what role would water take place in that? Where would the water help? If it was his blood, his dying on the cross, his sacrifice, what could the water do? You think about it, I guess it really depends on the water. We were talking about some water over there by a butcher shop or something, over there by a slaughterhouse. You wouldn't want to go in that water. Won't baptize me in that water. Xander's not here, so I can use this illustration. He was acting goofy somewheres. I think we were down at Flat Rock, and he was just kind of being himself and having a good time, not doing anything wrong. But somebody looked over at me because he said something kind of funny, and I said, I'm sorry, we baptized him up there in that Flint water. Nothing we could do. What role does the water do? The water we put up here, it's not holy water, it's hose water. It's hose water. It comes from that tap over there. If that water could save a soul, my friends, I would purchase every water gun I could find. And I would go door to door, knock, 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 who's there? I'd save everybody. We could go other denominations on it. We could do it much smaller, be a little bit more polite. Just walk through the Walmart. You know what I mean? We could do, but it's not the water. The water is a representation. It is much like when we take the Lord's Supper. It is still bread. It represents the body, but in the mouth, down the throat, in the belly, it is bread. The wine, what is it? It represents the blood of Christ, but it is not blood. All throughout your body, it will be wine until your body breaks it down and it is something entirely different. It is not the symbolism that saves us. We do the symbolism to remember. We do the symbolism to teach. We do the symbolism to make a statement. But the symbolism itself doesn't do anything. Why? Because when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." I heard somebody say, "Well, no, he's just saying it's the end of his story." Really? Because 3 days later, he came back. And what an encore to last as long as it did. Just walking around for weeks on end, showing himself to everybody, doing miracles, giving the commission to the church, chastising his disciples. It wasn't the end of his story. And we know that he is still up there preparing a place for his people, and one day he'll return and he'll come and get us. That story's not over, so that's not what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about? The work of salvation. It is finished. I don't need to burn a candle. I don't need to give vast sums of money. Oh, man, I absolutely detest. I heard somebody earlier this week talking about that. You know, every now and then I run into preachers in public. And they would talk about this. Oh, there was this lady in our church. She was passing away. And she was concerned that she had not done enough good to get into heaven. So she gave a very large endowment to the church. I was afraid to say anything because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. That hurt me. That bugged me. Because that's not the way that's supposed to go. I'm not going to make any accusations towards the person. I didn't have the spine to stop and talk to him. I was dealing with some sin in that moment. Just bugged me. Because what I would want to say if I was in that position, if somebody sat there and said, "Brother, my time is running out. I don't know how much time I have left. I'm not sure if I've done enough good to go to heaven." I'm going to give them the gospel. And I'm going to tell them that, yes, you know what? If that's what you want to do with your money, you do whatever you want with your money. Give it to the kids. Give it to the church. Throw it into a mattress. I don't care. But what you need is to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what you need to do. We need the work of Jesus Christ. We need what he did for us. He came to save. And save is what he did. It is not by giving. You cannot purchase heaven. You cannot good deed yourself into heaven. After all, baptism would be such a more easier thing to do than to buy your way into heaven. Or to good behavior your way into heaven. And I've never met a single person whose good behavior was enough to be worth it. John chapter 7 verse 46. This is the story of Mary, by the way, who came and washed the feet of the Lord with her hair. And everybody around her began to speak, "Well, wouldn't that oil be better served to sell and to put into the coffers or to give to charity?" And the Lord teaches them an important lesson. See what she has done? She's given this great thing. Verse 47 says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they went and they were baptized, and she was saved." Oops, nope, wrong version. "And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith. What about the thief on the cross? I love that one thief on the cross. You get to see his whole testimony just play out in just a few verses, don't you? That thief on the cross started off surly, railing against the Lord with his compatriot. And he just looks over and says, Lord, remember me. He says, today you'll be in paradise. No baptism. No first nor last rites. No money given to the church, no good deeds, no potlucks, no bake sales, no volunteering for Vacation Bible School. Just saved. Just saved. Well, that's special. That's something that the Lord can do. No, that in fact is what you see so very often. Believe and repent. Believe and repent. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to wear you guys out tonight if you try to keep up with me. See how I brought the computer today? It says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is that jailer. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto the word, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour and night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. However, dialing it back, what must I do to be saved? What's Paul and Silas's answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. But they were baptized later. Yes, one should go in hand with the other. It is a statement that we make. It is an entrance into the church. You are one of us because you have stood up and you have made this profession. We see who you are. We understand what you believe. Come and be a part. But what must I do to be saved? Believe. Believe. And if I believe in Jesus Christ, then I must believe in Jesus Christ as he was, the sacrificial lamb who died on the cross for our sins. If I must believe in Jesus Christ, I must believe in him as the answer for my sin. Ephesians 2:8 tells us what? Salvation is a gift. But it's not of works, lest what? Any man should boast. Do you remember back when we were studying through the book of 1 Corinthians? What did we see in the book of 1 Corinthians? I was baptized of Paul. I was baptized of so-and-so. They were proud of who had baptized them. You know what? And while your baptism and the person who baptizes you is a very precious thing, it's not something to brag about. Because it ought to be a statement you are making to the church and to the world, saying, this is what I believe. Baptism is a work. It's something you can do. And if baptism could save you, then you get to be part of the celebration. You get a throne of your own up there in heaven because you got to save yourself alongside Jesus Christ. No, it is finished, the Lord says. It is finished. There's no works for you to do. It's finished. It's not something that we can do or something we can add to it. It is simple obedience that we are baptized. Not a part of salvation. Because after all, how can I say that I believe those things and not first be saved? If Paul, Silas, and the Lord Jesus Christ tell us that belief and repentance, faith and repentance is what saves us. If that is what they say and that is what baptism represents, how can I stand up and say, this is what I believe happened without already being saved? Do you get the point? It's like, what is it, this year? You go vote, you get the little sticker, I voted. Now, unless you go in there and you get to peel off a whole bunch of those stickers on your own, everybody's got one, was one who already did the thing. That must be how baptism is. I was baptized because I already repented and because I believed. And I am standing up and I am believing this. Again, if covering you in water could save your soul, why did Christ have to go to the cross? I heard somebody give a very clever illustration. Well, you see, his blood seeped into the ground, and in the ground is water. And by putting the water on us, folks, that's not how biology works. That means everybody here baptized in America, you probably didn't get any of that water. You probably, I mean, if it is, it's such an infinitesimal amount. No, it is not the water that saves us. I'd like you to go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. You had to know we were coming here. It says, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. This is John the Baptist again. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. When people come forward for baptism, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to take them aside. I'm going to make sure what they believe is what they believe. It happens. The emotion gets good. The music is moving and people get caught up in things. Well, I think I'm saved. Well, what makes you think you're saved? I just feel good. Well, okay. That could be a lot of things. And sometimes I'll sit there, and especially if it's a young person, I've done that recently for a very young person I know. Over the last couple of years, I think I'm saved. Well, what does salvation mean? I don't know. All right, let's wait. Come around later. I want to be saved. All right, well, what does it mean to be saved? I'm not sure. All right, man, let's just hang out. Just keep listening. That happens. Every now and then you get folks that will come in and they're looking for a position within the church. They want to be a Sunday school teacher. They want this. They want that. They don't care much about the church, its infrastructure, what they believe. They just want a prominent position. We've had that happen since I've been here. Just a few folks that wanted to step in and do a few things, and they stopped coming because I said no. It's sad. I didn't want it to go that way. But typically I like to say, hey, now wait a minute. Let's get to know each other first before we give you a microphone. Let's wait for a little bit before you're down there talking to somebody, right? Let's just check it out. Let's give you some time to get to know each other. You say no and they take off. But I ask that main question. What is salvation? Well, salvation, that's just, Christ dying so that we could potentially, if we're good enough, Sorry, this is what it is. And that's a very difficult conversation to have because a lot of people who like to be in religious settings, they don't want to hear that perhaps their beliefs aren't quite biblical. And that's hard, but it's the kindest thing you can do. But here, let me give you some scripture. What do you think about that? Now, you don't have to be mean about it. I've known men who are mean about it and they put people down and they make people feel inferior. That's not how you do it. You open the Bible, you say, well, what about this verse? What do you think about that? And you get a good, friendly conversation going. Man, I tell you what, I've talked to people who disagree with me night and day on the Bible, and I have had wonderfully pleasant conversations because they kept a calm head, and somehow I kept a calm head, and everybody was respectful. It was a good time. And I love having a good time with people with an open Bible, even if I disagree with them. You could be nice, but people don't like being disagreed with. But all the same, we must stand for what the Bible says and only what the Bible says. So when these Pharisees came and they said, well, John's getting this baptism. It's quite the religious thing to do. So we'd like to, 4 baptisms, please. And John said, who warned you vipers? You're going to have to show me some proof that you've got some repentance. And that's what we do. Not, we don't call them a generation of vipers. At least that's not what I do. I don't know what you do, but that's not what I do. But do you believe, you know, what do you believe about salvation? Now, I don't give them a full-on catechismal test. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to join the church, but I at least got to know you know what salvation is. So, bring forth some fruit of repentance. And they didn't like that. Because here everybody else was being cool, getting the baptism, and they weren't allowed. Baptism is not just a religious rite of passage. It is a clear statement of what you believe. And John draws this out. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. So the Pharisees, they needed proof of repentance to be baptized. You know who didn't get those questions? Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. I ask you a question. If baptism is for salvation, why did Jesus need it? Why did Jesus need it? What is it for if Jesus himself felt compelled to do it? You ask any Christian out there, did Jesus live a sin-filled life? Oh no, he was sinless. Was there any reason for him not to go to heaven? No, he was from heaven. Was there anything wrong in his flesh that changed his godliness? No, he was still God all the way through. So why baptism? As we continue reading, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and he allowed him. He agreed with him, he went with it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. His baptism was different. We say, I believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. You know what Jesus was saying? I will die, be buried, and rise again. And that's why God says, This is my beloved Son of whom I am well pleased. Let's fast forward to the garden. Not my will, but thine. You know what he was doing? You can't be a part of the church without baptism. You need faith. You need repentance. You need to be baptized. You need to make that statement. Jesus' statement was different, but allowed him entry, allowed him to start, to pass on that authority within the institution. Jesus, if salvation was by baptism, then it is some weird travesty that the Lord himself would then go to be baptized. The one who wouldn't need salvation, the one who would not need that particular correction, going in and doing that for correction is quite weird. You know, you think about things that you just don't need. You know, we used to have colorful language for my family, such as it's like putting a chandelier in an outhouse. You wouldn't put a chandelier in an outhouse. That ain't the right way to fix that. We also go by the phrase of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And in this particular case, there's nothing on the Lord that was broken that baptism could fix. What he was doing is he was making a statement, much akin to ours, in full obedience to his Father, as he always was. Last verse I'll make you turn to, 1 Corinthians 1:12. 1 Corinthians 1:12. I hinted before about the debate over baptism. Verse 13 says, Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You following me on that? Not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What is the purpose of the gospel and baptism if they are separate like that? They are two different entities, aren't they? I didn't come to baptize, I came to give you the gospel. What was the gospel? That Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, 3 days later rose again to be that sacrifice, to pay that debt. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Death. The payment for the things we've done is death, eternity in hell. Jesus died living a perfect life, allowing us forgiveness and grace, paying that debt. That is the gospel. Baptism is something else. Baptism is something else. Jesus did. Jesus, while he would recommend baptism, Jesus was the one who came by and saved people by faith and gave them the gospel, taught them repentance and belief for salvation. We never hear of Jesus baptizing anyone. Not that it's unnecessary, but there were other people to do that. It was unnecessary for salvation. Paul coming through saying, I didn't baptize. I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel. Reading on in the verse 17, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. He's preaching the gospel. It is through, as we see through verse to verse, and man, I probably looked up about 100 to almost 200 verses just studying for this. And time after time, each time, it's the same. Very rarely do you see baptism and salvation together unless we are speaking of one who had already believed, who had already repented and confessed their sins. One happened first, and then the other. Again, looking at what has happened down through the past, it has become a bit confused. And the reason why it's become confused, number one, is a lack of study. Number two, the devil likes it that way. The more muddy he can make the waters, the harder it is for us to see. And number three, I hate to say it, but there's a certain business in it. There's a certain business in religious activity. You understand? I saw this. There was... you could go down to the bookstore, the Catholic bookstore down here, and you could order these little cups of wine, and on top with a little bit is just a little bit of like a oyster cracker type deal. And you can order that, and you can have communion at home. Now, that doesn't quite go with the picture, does it? But somebody makes money off of that. That's money. When you have to pay for the celebration or pay for the priest to come and do a baptismal service, what is that? Money. When you take your baby and you put it in a cute little gown, and that's money. There's a certain money that goes to it. There are other churches, hey, for a $25 donation, we'll put you in the horse trough out back. And I kid you not, that's what they use. Hey, listen. If I'm out starting a church somewhere and that's my only option, I'm not going to knock it. But when you've just got people, hey, listen, we're baptizing everybody today. And what we need is we just need a love offering of about $50. And we'll put you in that water, give you a t-shirt, and off you pop. What are we really doing for them? What are we really doing for them? We ought to be there to help them. We ought to be there to guide them and encourage them. Those first few weeks as a Christian, they're very difficult weeks for those that are truly saved. Those are very difficult ones. Your life is changing drastically. You're happy. But at the same time, the devil's going to show up and start tempting you and drawing you away. It ought not just be, hey, let's get this done. I had a phone call a few weeks ago. It might have been a few months ago, honestly. Time's starting to bleed together. But they asked, hey, listen, I haven't been baptized yet, and I figure I just need to get it done. I had a conversation with him, but we weren't on the same page. I said, well, no, what you need for baptism is you need to be saved, and this is what salvation is. What do you think about that? Yeah, I don't know about that, but I just know that, you know, before my mom goes, I want to make sure I get baptized because I don't want her to be disappointed in me. Okay, that's wonderful, man, but what you need is this. Yeah, you know, I've heard that before. I don't know what I think about that, but can you baptize me or not? That's not what it's for. You know, we'll get calls around here. Hey, listen, I got a 3-month-old, a 5-month-old. We'd like you to baptize them. And again, just being as wonderful and kind as possible, you explain to them that that's not what baptism is for. It's just not what it is. And there's just this part of our culture that says that religious activity saves people. Folks, prisons are filled with people who were baptized and not changed. Whether they be any denomination you could possibly think of. Stepping into that water does not make you different. It doesn't. I could baptize your baby, it is still 50-50, they go to jail. I could baptize you, it is still 50-50, you do something disappointing. Either you will or you won't. But a relationship, a connection between us and God, that makes a difference. Like we talked about this morning with Paul, that makes the change. It is that relationship. It is that understanding. That is what changes us. Baptism is for no other than making a statement. And how could we then, you know, justify putting children into the water just to pat mom and dad on the back and say, he's going to heaven now, provided he has perfect attendance, burns the candles, pays the alms, and does the penance. How does that go against what we've just read? How does that fit with it is finished? It is finished. That doesn't sound a lot like, well, you know, it's still a bit of a long shot. You know, there's still a lot of hoops you got to jump through, but it's a perfect start. No, it is finished. If we go someplace and we experienced this down in Cincinnati. There was this lady who had attended the church for a very long time, and she fell very ill. Just as the church was about to baptize her, she fell very ill. And they were trying to work out the safest way to give her baptism as she deeply wanted before she passed away. Well, the problem was that her body never recovered, so she was never baptized. But she could tell you clearly about the day the Lord saved her. Could we say that woman who believed, repented, and told a wonderful testimony and had a powerful faith and love for God, could we say that because she did not step into the waters here, or even done this, we did this down there at Brother Rankin's church, we baptized somebody in their bathtub. Oh, it was a big bathtub. And Brother Rankin was very serious about it. He says, every bit of them needs to be underwater. So, Matt, I need you to make sure every bit of them goes underwater or else it's not submerged. And I go, okay. And they were there. They had their pajamas on. And we baptized them in this giant claw-footed tub and brought them back. But no, that dear lady, strong faith, strong testimony, fit every picture we see in these verses. Could we say that she died and went to hell? Because she did not get into a bucket of that Cincinnati water. No, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is through repentance and faith. Baptism is the religious expression. It's the open statement. This is what I believe. So we reject things that tell us that you need special water, special things like that, special activities to save you, because that's not what it is. Again, if putting money into the coffers at church could save you, you know what I would do? I just walk around and give people dollars. Here's a dollar for you, here's a dollar for you, here's a dollar for you, here's a dollar for you. I'd open the box, I'd put the dollar in, praise the Lord. And it'd be easy to tell how many people we saved that day because I could just count the dollars. Look at that. 15 people today. That's not salvation. Oh, man. I'm glad this. I know we keep good track of our attendance during church. Aren't you glad you don't have to submit the attendance roll up to heaven? Because I'm telling you now, if I die and you don't submit that thing, and I miss heaven by this much because my attendance wasn't perfect, I'm coming after you. I'm glad I don't have to trust in that. I'm glad. Because I'm going to get sick. I'm going to take a vacation one day. Take a break. I'm going to get sick. Something's going to happen. I'm not going to be there. But the Lord says it is finished. Now, is attendance to church important? Absolutely. Is giving tithes and offerings important to the church? That's how the lights stay on. Right? I'm not out there driving a Maserati, folks. We're doing exactly what we should with our money. It is going to the stuff. When we see what salvation is, we understand that it's not of us. It's not about us. What is it about? It's about the sacrifice Jesus Christ did on that cross. Which means that everybody, with or without the ability to be baptized, can be saved. And that's a wonderful truth. That's a wonderful thing to understand. Now, I told you this morning I hate picking on bad religion because it sounds like I'm picking on people, but I hope you understand I'm not. I'm not picking on people. What I'm picking at is people misrepresenting the scriptures and not understanding they're misrepresenting the scriptures. Breaks my heart when people do that. You know why? Because people get hurt when we do that. People get hurt when we misrepresent the scriptures. You know, I heard somebody say that one time. You know, you can't bring an accusation against the pastor. He's the man of God. The Bible says, do not touch the man of God. Well, no, that means you ought to show respect to him. You ought not hurt him for the sake of hurting him. But the reason why the Bible publishes the criteria for a pastor, the qualifications of a pastor, is so that you can watch me. That's supposed to be part of it. What happens when we make scripture say what it don't say? I can hurt any one of you and nobody can do anything about it. I almost threw up saying that. Something could happen in my family. I could do something and you can't do anything about it because I'm the man of God. Well, your loved one wasn't baptized like I told him to, so they're in hell. Well, they said that they repented of their sins and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Nope, sorry. They're in hell. Well, they had baptism. Wasn't our baptism. They're in hell. I've heard people talk like that. That's rough. I got an opportunity to talk to somebody who ran a funeral home. And he wrote a book, and he let me read the book, and I've been talking back and forth with him, just messaging back and forth through email. I asked him, I go, what is some of the best advice you have for pastors? Just in the decades you were working with pastors and preachers, what do I need to know in that moment? Man, he's told me some things. Some harsh, terrible things that have been said. Lies that were told. There was a preacher, he said one time, said that because the person had been mean to him, said something nasty to him, that most likely they had lost their salvation. You know when they said that? While they were doing the funeral. You understand why I think it's so important we talk about what salvation is? Not just so that people would be saved, but so that it cannot be misrepresented by people trying to hurt other people with religious practices. God has made it accessible to all of us. Right? That blood shed on that cross was sufficient for all that would be saved. For all of them. We cannot make salvation anything other than what Christ has already made it. And when he made it, he said, it is finished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Father, when your son, when you said it is finished on that cross, we understand that there is nothing we can do for our salvation. That, Lord, all is left up to us and put into our hands is to repent and to believe. And, Lord, I pray that you help those that have not had salvation, Lord, that you would give that to them. That, Lord, you would convict them of their sin. Lord, bring them to you. But Father, I pray this, that for those of us that have already achieved it, Lord, help us to raise your Son's name up on high. Help us to praise you for the wonderful gift you've given. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.